you're in sin of accumulating treasures on earth. But like I said, I think it's your entire mindset that determines whether or not it's a treasure or a resource. I mean, if you're working 80 hours a week to make $1 million just so you have $1 million, then it's a treasure. If you're working hard to lay out money so you can help others and do ministry and support your family and do ministry and your entire focus is the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then it's just a resource. It's not a treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. It is, when it comes to money and material things, it is all a mindset. It's a mindset and it's your intent. God knows your intent, right?
Yeah, and even Jesus said, like, we use unrighteous mammon to show our basically... Well, it could almost be one of the signs of our stewardship and whether or not we're faithful to the kingdom and the laws of God.
Yeah.
Because if we're unfaithful in it, I mean, being lazy and not working at all, you shouldn't even eat. Loving money, that's the root of all evil. But being faithful in it and using it as a resource for God's glory and the kingdom, I mean, that's kind of the gist that I took out of the parable.
Yeah.
We've been given this resource, and we're to be stewards of it, and we're to be basically wise stewards of it.
Yeah, amen. Amen, yeah. Wise stewards, use it for His glory. What do we see in James 1? Looking after widows, orphans, and then we know the disciples were mostly funding the ministry of the gospel going out. And in one place, Paul says, you know, giving money or helping other people, especially the brethren, he says. So the focus is on your house and the brethren primarily, and then beyond that. But I, you know, I always tell people, like, you know, you didn't see Jesus and Paul set up soup kitchens, did you?
No.
They help. They would help needy people if they saw them, but that was not their focus. Jesus said, "The poor will always be with you." So yeah, we do have to use. I'll tell you what. If you have money and you want to do some good ministry with it, beyond your own ministry, travel, gospel cards, ministry, all that type of stuff, preaching the gospel, making disciples, all that, beyond your own ministry, it's really hard unless you go and would spend all the money to go on a plane and go travel to another country, because a lot of these ministries that fund, that do food and stuff, a lot of them are a big ripoff. You send them $5,000 and like $1,000 of it gets through to the people in the food. And the rest of it's administrative. The president's making $500,000 a year. So it really is. You got to use great wisdom, because it's hard to take excess money and do ministry with it if you think you got to just give it away. You may be wasting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of a sticky subject as well, because the modern concept of a charity really isn't biblical as much, because I mean, when we give alms, it's us giving. I think it means more when you see somebody in need and you go to that person, not publicly, not for publicity, you go to that person in need and you help them and you witness the gospel to them and you show them love and you help them with the resource that they need. I think that has an effect beyond you just writing a check to some nameless organization that, like you said, has a lot of sticky fingers and they just kind of take a little bit and distribute it through an organization.
Yeah, there's a purpose behind it. Yeah, you're involved. You're personally knowing this person. Kind of like the parable of the Good Samaritan. That guy got personally involved and helped that man. And it wasn't just, I'll send $50 to a fund and they go and look for people in a ditch. Right?
Yeah, because the complete idea of a charity is not giving of alms biblically, because I think if you actually break it down, and I've done this, I'm willing to be corrected if I don't understand it proper, but is that a charity is basically, it's almost like a cop-out, if that makes sense. So you just stroke a check and I can feel good that you gave away money to a charity, but if you actually take that money and you go, and first of all, it's personal. It affects you because you're going to the person who's needy. There's a human touch involved in that. You actually show the compassion on the person. You actually share the gospel to it. That person sees somebody who cares enough to actually speak to them, to speak God's truth, and to help them with something they need. Like, if they have a real need, I'm talking about someone who have a real need.
Yeah.
That would be a giving of alms that's done in private for the sake of love towards another, a fellow person. Somebody who you love for Christ's sake and who you help, versus you just, you know, stroking a check and feeling good about yourself.
It's, yeah,
like, I think biblically the modern concept of charities is not biblical.
Yeah, and ready? You're exactly right. And ready? I'm just going to pay a guy to go do spread the gospel around. I just write a check and he goes and does that. I don't have to do it. Same concept, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, same kind of concept. Brother Purgos, what say you about all of this?
Great wisdom. It's always best to administer things yourself, because with only yourself involved, if there's a problem, it's a very short list to find the problem.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
It's really about the heart of the person doing it. And yes, people get exceedingly lazy, and people do philanthropy just so they feel good. They actually have no proper motivations.
Yeah,
and let's work for God.
Yeah, let's talk about wisdom. So we, Sister Raman and I, went and stood outside a church, Renew Church, and their evangelism is they rent bounce houses, they buy a barbecue truck to give everybody free barbecue, they bring in llamas and balloons. I'm gonna guess they probably dropped $1,000. I know it costs $200-$300 to bring one bounce house in. They had three of them. It's got to cost $300-$400 to bring a guy with a barbecue wagon and feed 100 people. And so look at the money they spent, and they call that evangelism. Wasting the Lord's money on carnal things. Well, in their case, it's not the Lord's money. Well, everything is the Lord's, but in their case, they're not true saints. But, you know, using it for something like that is just foolishness.
Yeah, well, I don't, they just give some of their members of their congregation a free meal, and tomorrow we're all going to go walk around the neighborhood and knock on doors and invite them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Invite them
to door-to-door evangelizing.
Yeah, invite them to repent.
Gospel, yeah. But
yeah, don't just come to church. Why don't you repent and follow Christ? Yeah, that would be a novel idea, right? Hey, earlier in this, I said, where your heart is, your treasure is. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be. Doesn't it go both ways, though?
What do you mean?
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be, right?
Yes.
And then also, doesn't that mean wherever your heart is, that's your treasure?
Yes.
Yeah. So I kind of said it backwards, and but I was kind of pondering. I'm like, why did I say it that way? And I'm like, it's actually the same way, because it's the treasure in the heart and the treasure. Kind of the same thing, yeah. But, yeah, absolutely, it ties together, and money matters. Every man should be responsible for his own home and lay up his own store. This money-taking and having one purse and all of these type of things that they do that are not biblical, we need to model what we see in Scripture. And when everyone does what they're supposed to do and they're good stewards, it works well. The problem is, ready? You got a young brother that doesn't watch his money, and he's buying McDonald's and he's buying this, he's buying that, he's frivolous, he's doing that, and his transmission goes out in his car and he needs $1,200. And you go, hey, brother, we were telling you about a budget. Yeah, I should have been better with my money. Now, all the brethren got to come up with the money. Well, guess how you fix that situation? What would you do in that situation? Any ideas?
There probably would be some, like... Let me hear what you think about it.
How about you, Brother Purgos?
Two things came to mind. One... that's not a true need. You need to figure that out yourself. That'll help you learn to be more responsible. One option. The other option is you help them, but then you take control of their finances for them for a season and let them see their foolishness.
Yeah. I would call a transmission for your car to get to work and stuff. I would say that is a true need, though. That's not like a frivolous thing, right?
No, it's not frivolous, but sometimes when people are forced to figure out solutions, it teaches them lessons much more than when other people bail them out.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, he might have to walk or ride a bike for a while, huh? What I would do, and I've kind of been in that case before, what I would do is I'm always counseling people, be good with your money. Hey, let me give you some advice. And depending upon who the person is, if they take it and they're good with their money and they run into a bind, then the body of Christ will step up and help them with a love gift if they've been doing what they're supposed to do. And that's a done deal. Hey guys, let's get together. This young brother's trying his hardest and his transmission went out. We can buy him a new transmission for $1,200. He's trying hard. He's being frugal with his money, but we'll help him. You get a young man who's not frugal. He's been rebellious. He hasn't taken good counsel, hasn't taken advice. Well, we're not going to not help him because guess what? Now he's going to lose his job. He's going to become even more of a burden. You're going to have to help him, look after him. You sit him down and you say, you know what, brother? You didn't listen very well, did you? Have you learned a lesson from this? You have no money for transmission? Let's look at your finances and get you on a budget. And you're going to have some accountability there. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you that transmission so you can go back and forth to work. And you're going to repay that money. This teaches him that there's a difference between a love gift and someone taking advantage of the body in foolishness and not being a good steward. Just because you're not a good steward doesn't mean we're going to throw our money at your problem now. So that will teach him a great lesson, and he'll be told that money goes back into all of our funds so that we can then help somebody else. And that will teach him a great lesson.
Yeah.
You guys agree with that?
Yeah. I just had another thought here on being a good steward and not having your heart set on money as your treasure, but being a good steward nonetheless. Do you remember the account where the woman came in and she poured the costly oil on Jesus' feet?
Yeah.
And anointed him, and then Judas was like, why couldn't this have been sold for 300 pence or whatever it was, and the money given to the poor? There's also a time and a place, I guess, where we got to be careful that we don't care so much about being a steward, so to speak. I guess this would tie into thinking too much of money, that you would consider spending money on a saint as to be, oh, that's too much money to spend or something. Does that kind of make sense?
I think... Go ahead, Brother Purgos. Go ahead, Brother Purgos.
If a saint has a true need, is it ever too much? I would think no.
It's kind of the... I don't know. I was just thinking about that account and pondering a little bit back and forth on the heart of how a saint deals with money. Like, it says that he said this because he was a thief and he had the money. He obviously loved money, and it showed in it, as some people might think, use their love of money to be miserly, but they try to use a biblical excuse, but love overrules it. Does that make sense?
How do I word this? I think there is a time when it's too much. Yeah, I do. And let me give you an example. Let's say a young brother hears the gospel and repents, and he wants to go and he wants to learn to be a disciple and preach the gospel, and he needs a vehicle to do it. And he goes out car shopping. And the brothers say, yeah, we're going to help you. You're going to work. You're going to get on a budget, but we're going to help you. We're going to get you. Let's say he's going to go in van life. We're going to get you in a van so then you can live frugal, save up your money. We're going to train you. You're going to be, you want to go out and witness the gospel? Well, he goes car shopping and he's looking at $15,000 cars. Yeah, I like this one. And I like that one. I like that one. Hey, brothers, let's sit down and have a talk here. Does he need a $15,000 car? Probably not. Let's see. Let's look around. Hey, we can get the same job done, a little less frilly car, but he can live in it, takes him where he needs to go, it's not a junker, for about $5,000. That's where I would say that's wisdom, not just saying, oh, because he's my brother, I'm going to do it. Because guess what? If we just tweak that down, okay, and we give him five, now we have 10,000 extra, we could send two more men out for the same amount of money. Does that make sense?
No, I wasn't talking about that. I was more thinking about, how would I word this? I'm trying to think of how to word this.
I think we still use wisdom no matter what. And the context of Jesus with that perfume, really, again, we got to look at the context. That is Christ. She knew he was God. And guess what she did? She was anointing him for his burial. Jesus even says so. So that's like a total different thing. I would never pour that kind of expensive thing over one of you. Never.
Thank you.
Never. Don't ever pour it over me.
Never.
That was because it was Christ.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's more the principle at play, I guess. The principle that money is a resource, and situation and context determines how it's used, not treasure and money for the sake of having it. And like it kind of ties into not having, like, it's not one size fits all. In that situation, yeah, you might have been able to feed a lot of poor people, but the context was, this is Christ who himself came, and the precious sacrifice and what it is was worth more than the 300 pence.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of like the spirit versus the letter.
Yeah.
And just the principle of how we deal with wisdom, that it's not a one size fits all approach.
Right.
I think that probably would be a better way of putting it.
Yep. And I would just disagree with that statement where we would say, is it ever too much for a saint? Absolutely, it could be. There's people that don't make good decisions. They don't make, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is. I believe we should always be a good steward and always be frugal. But if Paul, who was called by God, was standing in front of me, or Christ himself, I'm throwing it all at his feet and saying, use it. There it is all. Everyone else, it's like, okay, God gave me this to steward it out. What do you need? You're hungry? You don't need a steak from Outback Steakhouse that's $25. Tell you what, let's take you to Walmart and buy you $15 worth of groceries. It's going to go a lot longer than that one meal. So that's the kind of wisdom that I think that we still have to use no matter what. And that, I believe, is part of being a good steward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't really mean it like as we just like would blow $1 million on something, right, just for the sake of spending that much money on a saint.
Yeah. I think it has to be, we've talked about this, like with love gifts. It has to be need-based and ministry-based. That's what I believe. I believe love gifts and helping people needs to be need-based and ministry-based. And if somebody has a debt that they ran up in their worldly life or their Christian life that was foolish, and it's not really a need that it gets paid off right now, they can work, they can pay it off in time, that's not the body's responsibility to get them debt-free to pay that off. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If some man came to Christ and he had a house that was worth $187,000, oh, I only owe $100,000 on it. Pay it off for me so I can be debt-free. Hey, I have an idea. Sell it. And either get a smaller house, live in an apartment, go in van life, live real frugal. You'll have lots of extra money. So I think that, to me, love gifts are always need-based. You're hungry. We just help a saint escape to freedom. That was a need. Somebody needs a vehicle so they can live and work. That's a need. And I think everything else, and ministry base, hey, I don't have a penny to rub together, but I'm a biblical saint. I'd like to get some gospel cards. We'll buy you gospel cards. There you go. I need an extra tunic because I only got one. We'll get you more tunics. Not a problem. So I think it needs to be need-based, ministry-based, and then outside of that, I think people have the responsibility for themselves. Would you brothers agree with that?
Yeah. And then it needs wisdom and discernment.
Yeah. So. Yeah, amen. And there's great lessons to be learned. in someone taking care of their own mistakes. When other people come and just take care of it for you, there's not much of a lesson to be learned there, is there?
No.
No.
When it costs you greatly, you learn. When it costs somebody else, you go, oh, that was easy. You know? That was easy. So, yeah, good concepts. And it is a case-by-case kind of thing. And it is good to have a giving heart. I think that's the whole concept there of what you read in Luke. Have a giving heart, be a good steward. But to me, the main concept that keeps coming in, Brother Kuo is on. Hello, Brother Kuo.
Hello.
I think the main concept that keeps coming through there with that verse to me, or all those verses, is being a good steward. And then I hone in on the fact that if you, ready, all you brothers, and me included, if we can't handle unrighteous mammon, money on this earth well, how in the world are we going to handle the eternal word of God and souls and brethren and sisters? We're not going to be able to. We got to be able to do that right. So then God says, you know what? He's faithful with that little. I'm going to give him more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, amen.
Kind of like these people that have come and said they want to be part of our fellowship. They say a lot of things. Then they don't back it up. We give them truth and they squander it and throw it to the ground. And walk away. You think God's going to give them more truth?
No.
No, because if you're not a good steward, then, well, this is probably a different parable, entirely different context and meaning, but even that which you have will be taken from you at the end.
Amen. 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 So we went into part two on this audio, but that's good stuff. Anything else on, well, Brother Akuo just jumped on from his second job. Brother Akuo, we have been talking about the account where Christ talks about be faithful in unrighteous mammon, otherwise how will you be trusted with eternal riches, and the concept of where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Again, throwing you right in it. Any thoughts on that? We're talking about being a good steward of money and all things. You got any, maybe, have you learned anything being a newer believer, being a good steward with money and stuff? Have you learned anything you could share, brother?
Yeah, I would just say all things are the Lord's. So he's giving you charge either over little or over much. And he definitely watches how you use it, and he knows your heart and how you use it. And like you were saying, when I jumped in, he'll give you more if you're faithful with it. He'll definitely. And I've learned, I mean, being frugal, van life, van living.
Mini evangelist.
Yeah, being a mini evangelist. That you can live on very little, and you can really like hone in your finances where you're focused mostly on like food, water, just like the basic necessities. You don't have to be spending it all over the place, and you can live and work for the Lord on that little amount, like, and the Lord will see that faithfulness. And you know, I don't know, I'm just no. It's been a long day, I'm rambling,
yeah,
a little bit.
No, amen, amen. And let me just talk about this. I seen, I'm just going to say it, I seen you just recently, yesterday, become a good steward when you messaged me this morning and what you told me, and you confessed and you said, yeah, I kind of got a little bit like that, and then you said, I won't go into all the details of it, and on your own, you said to me, and I thought, wow, that's great growth in that young man. You said, all my time and everything I have is the Lord's. That's what you said. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about all your money is the Lord's, your health is the Lord's, your van is the Lord's, your time is the Lord's, where you go, where you live, what you're doing is the Lord's. And I loved how you kind of said, I had to catch myself there, my wants and desires don't matter. Isn't that what you said, brother? You said, it's all of the Lord, right?
Yeah, once you realize it's like either your will or God's will, you got to start putting your will away. You got to start putting your will down. And
amen.
And yeah, yep.
Yeah, and what's awesome is, last thing I'll say about all this, what's awesome, and I keep seeing this, I'm really being edified by this, I see how God works in people and then in the body with people dealing with each other, and how we all think we're going to go do this and we're going to have this person, or we're going to do this and do that, and God says, yep, get going on that, and then we make a plan, which is a great, if the Lord wills. I love it how James says that. And then the Lord says, yeah, get going right there, but you're not going right like you thought. You're going left. And I don't want you there. I want you here. And we, as good stewards, have to say, Lord, whatever, your will be done, like the Lord's Prayer. And we go forth and we do that. And when that happens, guess what we find? When we humble ourselves with our finances, we learn a lot, like you're saying, Brother Cool, right? You're learning what you can live on, what you don't need.
Yeah, it kind of strips down your life, and like the Lord said, ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and
Amen.
Everything will be added unto you. So
yeah.
Get the small things in order and seek the kingdom of God, and God will give you everything you need to seek the kingdom of God.
So. Amen. So yeah, so this stewardship covers all things. Brother Zelos was mostly honing in on the money part, but it does kind of, like the rock in the pond, it does kind of ripple out. Covers everything. We have to be good stewards of relationships in the body, good stewards when we go out and put the gospel out. There you go. We were just talking about, don't cast your pearls at people that are trampling, don't want to hear it. Isn't that being a good steward of what God's gave us? Don't give it to people that throw it on the ground and stamp on it. We take it back from them and say, no, this, we didn't come here for you. Isn't that also being a good steward, brothers?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Store it up. Store up your truth, study it, store up your gospel cards, store up your time in ministry, then go forth and pour it out to the people that are a good investment. Yeah, kind of the parable of the talent. So, good topic, brother. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it's one that kind of just keep going because it branches out. Like you said, Jesus taught a lot about it because, I guess my closing remarks would just be that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I don't think, well, it's just another thing that the whole churchianity system, it does not teach and preach on how saints are to use their resources and what they're supposed to spend them on and how to be a good steward of them. And so you end up with a lot of covetous people who end up do loving money and they don't use it wisely, and it's just a whole mess. But it is very important because it's both being a good steward that ripples into every other area, and it's also a huge part of our witness.
It is. And I would throw one thing in there. I would encourage everyone, especially young men, if I could go back and do my life over as a believer and start at some of the ages you men are at, the one thing I would counsel people, I always tell them this, make sure your job supports your ministry, not your ministry fitting into your job. And then look at how you live and what you have to spend, how you live and things you're doing. And then if you want to do more for the Lord, you look at your life and go, how could I adjust my life so that instead of doing all this labor and this ministry, I could do all this ministry and this laboring? And if you order your life, this is where I recommend people, order your life in a way, get drastic with it if that's what you want, and you can actually alter it, because you know the idea of working 40 or 50 hours a week and that's how you're going to make a living, that is the system they plugged in to keep everybody trained like the monkey behind the lever. You don't have to live that way. I know, and I'll just give you an example. I know of young men, and I wish they were godly saints, but they're not. But I know of young men that don't work regular full-time jobs. You know what they do? They live real frugal in their life, and most of them they're like van dwellers. They don't have like a place they rent or a place they own. One man does actually own a place like off-grid homestead. He goes and he does like cranberry work coming up in Wisconsin. He'll work 2 or 3 weeks, and he'll make $4,000 or $5,000. 12 hours a day, hard work. They work you like a dog, 20-some bucks an hour. Then he'll go out west and he'll do a sugar beet harvest and he'll make $4,000 or $5,000 out there. And then he lives a lot of his time free. And so I'm just throwing that as an example that you can, if you're a good steward of time and a good steward of money and a good steward going, I don't have to live this way. I don't need all this stuff. you can order your life and flip it so that you're doing more ministry for the kingdom of God than laboring for mammon. That's what I just want to throw in there. I know it can be done because I did it. I know other men doing it that aren't even Christians. And you think about this too, ready? We see homeless people out here all the time. And a lot of them live in their cars. Or they live in campers. And these nomad people that don't even have the Lord are making a living out here. Now, they're standing on the corner begging for money. But look at Brother Kuo. He go get a dishwashing job and make money and wash dishes. And if he has very little money, that money goes a long way. Or excuse me, if he has very little needs for that money, it goes a long way. And so we can order our lives kind of like the disciples did, kind of like Jesus did, kind of like Paul did. Paul traveled and traveled real meager. He wasn't living high on the hog. And then he set up camp somewhere, was a tent maker, worked and made money. Then the church supported him in places where he could go and travel again. So coming down to like the concept of stewards, we can be good stewards of our time and how much resources. And you can pivot that so we can become more in favor of the kingdom of God than laboring for mammon. So I just wanted to say that, and I want to encourage people that can be done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to leave this audio right there. Good job, brothers. There'll be a part one and a part two on this audio, and it'll be up at the Ecclesia Gathering.